The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back, as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this Tuesday, folks, the 11th day of June 2020. What? My clock says the 11th. Get in here and fix it. I don't pay attention to those things on the calendar. I only know it's Wednesday. Actually, it's Tuesday. All right, I stand corrected. 8th day of June. Let me not wish your life away, Mike. I know how every day is precious. The year is 2021. On the program today, I have Harley Schlanger, and on tomorrow's show, I will have Roger Landry on. So with that, I bid you hello. How you doing, Harley?
I'm fine, John. How are you?
Well, you know, that's a relative question anymore. It depends on what kind of psychological state that person that you're asking that question is in. To be polite, oh, I'm fine. How are you? You did an article here, and I've got it posted up on republicbroadcasting.org. And it seems to answer a few of those questions, you know, inquiring minds want to know, as to why, again, we're going after Poodie-Poo and Russia itself. We noticed a narrative on the pipeline that supposedly was hacked by the Russians. And, you know, Harley, I said this on the program before. If there's a bank robbery and a foreign dignitary gets killed by a stray shot during that robbery, is it the fault of the United States government? Do you place the blame on them? Well, of course you don't. But according to our vaunted intelligence agencies, our crack people that couldn't find their butts with both hands, in a lighted room, I should say, we're quick to point out, oh, it's Russian. It's Russian, as if to imply that it was an attack by the Russian government. That died down rather quickly, and all of a sudden the FBI announces that, hey, we've recovered millions of dollars of that ransom.
Yeah.
Can't they come up with better scenarios? Because they bring them up, they splash them out there, and then they disappear because there's no validity to it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think, I can't remember for sure if it's in the article I sent you, I got a little bit into the real reason they're launching this escalation against Russia. And it has to do with the fact that the Russians and several other governments that are generally targets of sanctions from the United States are moving toward a potential new monetary system. And there was just this conference in St. Petersburg, the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum, where Putin had some very, very interesting comments. In fact, one of the most interesting was he said that as a former citizen of the Soviet Union, he can see that the United States is now moving down the same path that the Soviet Union followed. And he said a declining empire, which doesn't recognize the small mistakes it's making as they build up. And he said that this is a tragedy unfolding. Now, at the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum, the deputy finance minister launched a trial balloon, a man named Vladimir Kolachev. And he was asked, what do you think about the sanctions policy? You know, every time you turn around, there's a new sanction against Russia. And this is obviously a setup question. He said, well, these are criminal, these sanctions. But what you have to realize is a new global financial system is coming into being. It won't come overnight, but it is inevitable. And the sanctioned countries will do it. Now, this is because the target of the sanctions is the attempt to change the regime in Russia and China, in Syria, wherever these sanctions go. But countries that are sanctioned begin to lose the incentive for going along with what's called the Great Reset. Some of these countries don't want to go along with it anyway because they realize it's a central banker's dictatorship. But what you see is that Russia is getting rid of their dollar assets. They only have something like $20 million in dollar reserves left, whereas they had, I think, several billions, maybe tens of billions a year ago. Putin yesterday said, when he was asked, what do you think about the dollar going into an inflation period? And he said, I'm suggesting to Russian companies abroad that they put their money in euros, not dollars. So it's one of these things that what the U.S. is doing, which started under Bill Clinton, actually, and then was escalated under Bush, went to a whole another level under Obama, these sanctions policies. And then under Pompeo, we started launching all sorts of new sanctions. Now under Blinken, with the so-called rules-based order, we're sanctioning virtually anyone. If they use the wrong grade toilet paper, they're getting sanctioned. So it ends the incentive of countries to stick to the dollar. Now, if there's a break from the dollar system, the danger is that all hell could break loose internationally. But we're about to have that happen anyway because of the hyperinflation that could be coming. So there are ways we can move into a new financial system without complete chaos. But in the United States, there's not a single figure who's actually talking about what could be done.
That's because they're just in flat denial that it even exists. And I know they're not stupid enough to think that, that they just ignore it. It won't have the impact that they fear that it might. Unspoken fear. Yeah, you said about Vladimir Putin, a series of small mistakes that add up to big ones. It's my contention, Harley, that these aren't small mistakes, and it's leading to one thing. And the globalists have to have the United States in full capitulation to the New World Order, otherwise you will not exist.
It's not in capitulation, John. It's in control. They are taking over the institutions, taking them away from the sovereign control of the people. And most of our government institutions are in the hands of the globalists right now.
Well, and the issue of sanctions. Monetary sanctions is another form of warfare that is an aggressive act that heretofore was always known as a measure of war. You know, it's just not bullets, it's supplies, it's a lot of different things. It's infrastructure, it's support for whoever the bad guy is to put up resistance and hopefully win their battle, whatever that battle is. Go ahead.
Colonel Richard Black, who has spoken at a couple of our conferences, he was the head of the Army Criminal Law Division in the Pentagon before he left the military and then went on to become a state senator in Virginia. But in a speech recently on sanctions, he'd been to Syria, and he said that he found out that Mike Flynn was absolutely right, that the U.S. armed, trained, and provided logistical support for ISIS and al-Qaeda, Jabhat al-Nusra, and so on in Syria. In other words, the jihadists. And he said, we flooded that country with dollars and with weapons. and we let jihadists go in via Turkey. And what he said is that as a military man who shed blood for this country, I'm disgusted by what our policy has become. Because the sanctions policy, just what you said, it's war, except a specific kind of brutal, cruel warfare where the targets are the poor, the elderly, the sick, the disabled. What the Caesar sanctions do for Syria is they won't allow food into the country, they won't allow oil, they won't allow medicine. You have people who are dependent on medicine from other countries who are dying now because they can't get their medicine. When you have hospitals with machines that break down and you can't get new spare parts, people die. And the people who die are not the wealthy or the government, but the poorest people who have just been through 11 years of a civil war courtesy of Barack Obama. And this is why this is such a, what Colonel Black said, such a disgusting policy. He said it makes him ashamed to be an American. And he said, I've been an American patriot my whole life. And he said, we have to win this country back from these people.
Well, they had better come up with a plan and institute it pretty quickly because they're well entrenched. By the way, the response of the Syrian people to this guy that the United States has called everything but president of his own country, Ahmadinejad, just got reelected for an 8-year term. And if information is valid, Mr. Netanyahu was voted out in Israel, signaling there might be a political change going on there. But Syria, we knew this all along. And if it were not for Russia's intervention, Syria would be gone.
You said Ahmadinejad. You meant Assad, I think.
I'm sorry. Yeah. You're exactly right. Yeah.
Well, look, what you just pointed out, John, in two sentences, shows the potential for change. Netanyahu assumed after this slaughter of Palestinians, on base that was generated by Israeli actions, that Netanyahu thought justified a very heavy-handed response. He assumed that the Israeli people would be so frightened by Hamas shooting off some missiles that they would accept him for a new term. Now, Netanyahu's in trouble because, number one, his party can't get more than a third of the vote, and the coalition partners that he's had the last four elections don't like him anymore. They don't want to be with him. And so what is Netanyahu doing? He's organizing the extremist settlers who are armed, very well armed, to go to the homes of his former allies and threaten them if they vote on Sunday to replace him as prime minister.
Does he think that's actually going to work? If he shows his true colors to his potential opposition, that somehow they're going to fall in line because they're threatened at a point of a gun from this clown?
Well, they did in the past, because Netanyahu had two things. One is he had money from, he had the pipeline from the United States. But secondly, his party is a fascist party. You know, the founder of Netanyahu's party is named Jabotinsky. He was a Russian Jew who said that Israel is the land from the Nile to the Tigris and Euphrates. Right. It was given to the Jews by God. And in the 1930s, he appealed to Hitler to send the German Jews to Israel so they could get out of Germany and form this new state. And Hitler said, well, what if they don't want to go? And he said, well, you're a tough guy. You can make them go. Now, because of that, Jabotinsky was called Vladimir Hitler by the Israelis back in the 30s. He died, but his party was the Likud party with Shamir, Begin, and so on.
Right.
But his American, yeah, Jabotinsky's American general secretary was named Benzion Netanyahu. And his son is now Bibi Netanyahu, who's been the prime minister of Israel for the last 12 years and thought he had a position of prime minister for life.
It makes little to no sense when you are in a shrinking country that used to be referred to as being Palestine. And I'd heard the arguments against, no, it really wasn't. It was just a conglomeration of Arabs that settled. Okay, well, there's one thing that the earth doesn't like. Well, we don't like on this earth, I should say. And that's plots of land that don't have borders to it or don't have names assigned to it. It's very important if you're going to declare war on something that it has at least a name, you know. So, you know, I look at this, and does the world, and they, Israel tried to do everything they could for years to try to tamp down the information about Israel having nuclear weapons. Well, they have every imaginable delivery system. Maybe some of it not up to the standard of, say, like a Russia, China, United States. But does a country actually believe that they can keep sticking the sharp stick in the tiger's eye and that one day they won't get nuked? Israel is under no threat of falling. Never was.
No, that's true. And the other side to this is that Israel, if it actually acted as a sovereign, normal nation, would be a decent place for solving some of the starting point for solving some of the problems in the Middle East, because they do have an economy, in some cases courtesy of the United States or the world Jewish community, but they do have an economy based on research and development. They have a machine tool sector, a nuclear sector, and
they got PayPal.
Yeah. But the point is, had they gone along with the Oslo Agreement, which would have been to help build up the Palestinian areas instead of stealing all the land, they probably would have a very good chance of peace in that region now. But this is not just the fault of Israel. I think this is, we have to take a step back and ask, who benefits from the chaos that exists in Southwest Asia? And this goes back to the British policy at the beginning of the 1900s, which was run by a group called the British Israelites around Lloyd George, the Fabian Society, King Edward VII, who actually believed that the monarchy of England was descended directly from Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene.
Wow.
That Mary Magdalene had a child with Jesus, that when Jesus was crucified, she made it to Spain, and that her family became the monarchy, ultimately the monarchy of England. It's a fascinating story. It's in a book called Holy Blood, Holy Grail. But you have these Masonic cults, which essentially are promoting this. This had a lot to do with the Crusades. It has a lot to do with the emergence of England in the 1600s under the Stuart kings. This is what Shakespeare was writing about, trying to warn the English people about what was happening after Queen Elizabeth died. And this became the basis of the empire. And it was a Masonic operation centered at Oxford at a place called the Ashmolean Museum, where the British set up basically a think tank to do psychological profiles of every culture on the planet that could be used so that the British Empire would not have the problem the Romans did of having to send their forces everywhere in the world. Could they recruit native forces to impose the policies of the empire? And that was the origins of the British Empire. And one of the places they tried to recruit, the United States, to try and get people through the Rhodes Scholarship and certain things like that. And what do we have today? We've got a lot of Rhodes Scholarship people who are in high positions in the United States.
And they're well-placed, well-entrenched, and this system, I call it infiltration, has been going on for a number of years. You mentioned Hitler. Oops, we got a break coming up here. When I get back, Harley, I want to bring up Nazi Germany. And 1913, we're not the only country to start the funny money stuff. And then it wasn't too much later after that, we had the Great Depression. But Hitler did something different. And if he was supposedly the murdering madman that he was, he certainly didn't hate the Jewish bankers that much. He allowed them to live. happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Frontsight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Frontsight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Frontsight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
If you, Harley, if you pay attention to the newspaper writings of the early 30s, and a lot of people are under the misconception that in October 1929, the big crash and the recession was on. Yeah, it had its V's, as they like to call them. They had its dips and its peaks and its valleys, but it really didn't set in until 31, 32.
Yeah,
and if we take a look and pay attention to the newspaper writings at the time, then the drumbeat started, and Hitler just took over as Chancellor of Germany. He was not the dictator that he was to become, because quite frankly, he had a job to do, and he figured the best way to do it is I'm the director, and I don't need other little smarmy politicians around me to thwart me. Boy, it almost sounds like Donald Trump. At any rate, Hitler told the Jewish bankers he knew why they had hyperinflation under the Weimar. He knew why things were the way they were, and it was the usury system. And he told these bankers, he said, look, he said, you've got to go. There's no use for you here in Germany, and you've got to go, and go you must. He didn't confiscate their wealth, quote-unquote wealth, and he didn't shoot them. and he didn't lock them up in jail or didn't throw them into a quote-unquote concentration camp. What he did was told them, get your stuff and get the hell out of my country. And it was rather fascinating because the critics of Adolf Hitler, that was the only country during the late 20s, early 30s, and well into the 30s, that was not suffering like Europe was, like the United States, like Canada, like Australia. Anybody that was hooked to a funny money banking system, they were in the doldrums. They were controlled. They controlled the investment capital, which was very, very scarce. And the drumbeat started to get rid of Hitler. It was, if you look at it historically, Harley, that was probably one of the better moves that any leader of any country in history did. Was said, okay, I recognize the problem. I realize the fix that we're in and how we got here, and I'm going to fix it.
Well, John, let me give you a little bit deeper picture of what actually was involved in this, because he didn't throw out all the Jewish bankers because some of them had been supporting him. There was a decision made after the Versailles conference that Germany could never rearm again or never develop again.
Right.
They would be punished by Versailles. But at a certain point, the British started fearing the threat from Russia. And remember, the British were involved in setting up the Soviet Union. You actually have to look at the Wall Street, London, Berlin cartels, banking cartels, and the other cartels. The rubber companies were in a cartel, the steel cartels, Krupp and Thyssen, the Rockefeller Morgan cartels, which is very similar to what we have today with the globalist cartels. They were all working together, and they decided at a certain point that a collapsed Germany would be a threat to them because it would mean Russia could march right through Europe. And so they decided to build up Germany. And so Germany had lines of credit coming from the Bank of England when no one else did. And this was the head of the Bank of England, Montagu Norman, who worked through Hitler's banker, Hjalmar Schacht. Schacht was the Minister of Finance during the Hitler period. And he was the one who was able to dole out huge amounts of money to the arms manufacturers. They did infrastructure. They built the Autobahn. You know, the roads in Germany are still fairly good, although they're decaying today. But Schacht had money coming from London and Wall Street to build up the Wehrmacht, the German army. Now, Hitler had a different idea. He knew it would have been a mistake to march against Russia right away, so he went west. And that's when the British started doing you-know-what in their pants, because they weren't prepared to fight that war. And had it not been for the United States, the British Empire would have ended under German domination. Now, the problem was that after the war, the British intended to reestablish their global empire. And Roosevelt didn't want to do that. And he told Churchill at a famous meeting at the White House, Winston, Americans will never again die for the British Empire. And according to Roosevelt's son, who was at the dinner, Churchill nearly choked and turned purple and said, "What are you talking about?" And this was one of the issues after the war, which unfortunately, when Harry Truman came in after Roosevelt's death, he fell under the control of Churchill. And the British created the intelligence community in the United States, the CIA with the Dulles brothers, the same cartel networks, the Morgan family, Harrimans, and others who were there before the war, became the deep state starting in 1947.
All right, we've got to take this bottom of the hour break here. We'll open up the phone lines at 512-248-8252. You know, Harley, I ask a small question or make a small statement, and I'm inundated by your depth of knowledge.
Handle the truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Question from my Monday co-host, Steve Elkins. What do you see coming up with this, dare I call it a summit, with Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin?
Well, interesting. I just wrote an article today on that based on Biden's op-ed in the Washington Post that someone wrote for him. It was in the Washington Post on June 6th. And it just shows the extent to which he's going into this thing with a Anglo-American imperial agenda. He starts out by saying, well, the first day I'll be in London, I'll be reaffirming the special relationship with Boris Johnson. The second thing we're going to do is set up the Alliance of Democratic States. Now, what is that? This is a Boris Johnson initiative, but it's not really Boris Johnson. It's the Atlantic Council. And I don't know if you know the Atlantic Council, John, but this is one of the premier think tanks of the military-industrial complex. And what they're saying is that you have to have, instead of a G7, because Biden's going to the G7, you need the D10, the Alliance of Democratic States. And what's their goal? To make sure that the rules-based order is implemented. Now, what's the rules-based order? It's what the bankers need, whatever they need. Overthrow this government, austerity here, the Green New Deal, And Biden said the other thing he's going to be pushing on his tour is the clean green initiative to counter China's Belt and Road Initiative. Now, this is a joke. I mean, China's spending billions of dollars on infrastructure all around the world. Biden has no money to spend on this. No other country is going to spend. And what they're doing is they're sending around Mark Carney, the former head of the Bank of England, who's now the climate czar for the United Nations, who met with African governments last week. And he said, we've got a really good deal for you. If you don't develop your economy, if you don't develop manufacturing, if you don't spend money on infrastructure, if you don't clear the land, if you don't farm the land, you can make money selling your carbon offsets to Western companies that need them. And this is how Carney intends to build up a $100 billion green bubble as the first step toward a $30 to $40 trillion flow of funds that will go into the big banks and into this green bubble.
Well, and I've had, and I've asked my audience, and I'm asking other alternative media outlets. I had a gentleman from California, Dan Titus, been tracking and tracing this Green New Deal. The budget that several weeks ago that Biden put forth, the $1.9 trillion, and the counter from the Republicans was simply, well, we're not going to give you that. We'll give you half. And this whole thing, what is...
That's not infrastructure, John, as you know.
No, I know it's not. What this is the payoff to these non-governmental organizations and the infrastructure, because what is going on right now, and people in this country don't even know it because nobody's talking about it, it's the Paris Accord, the 2030 Accord, that's being reinstituted, and it's active, and it's growing in this country as we speak.
Well, the Green New Deal and the Great Reset are the same thing, really.
Yeah.
And Klaus Schwab and the Davos billionaires, what? Just in a nutshell, what the banks are in terrible shape because they're sitting on piles of unpayable debt.
Mm-hmm.
They've been loaning money like crazy to corporations that aren't producing anything. But the corporations are borrowing more money and buying more stock, including their own stock. So we have a big stock bubble. We have a huge corporate debt bubble. And they're afraid the whole thing's going to pop. So what do? Instead of going to a bankruptcy reorganization and starting to arrest some of these bankers who are using unbelievable levels of leverage based on the free money they're getting from your favorite institution, the U.S. Federal Reserve, they've come up with this completely fraudulent thing called the Green New Deal, where they're going to build windmills and wind parks and solar parks, which won't provide enough energy to keep anything lit up.
No, it won't, because they still have one problem. They can't make a big-ass battery big enough to
take... They can't store it. Yeah.
That's right. That's exactly right. Hey, look, I've got Steve Elkins, my Monday host, on the line. Hello, Steve. You're on with Harley Schlanger.
Yeah. Hey, Harley. Hey, John.
Hi,
Steve. I just wanted to address something with Harley to get his viewpoint on this. Now, we've got the Biden-Putin summit coming up on June 16th in Switzerland there. I don't see a whole lot to come out of that. I'll just get your opinion on that. But, you know, Putin is... He's already said that Putin is a killer. You know, he's looked into his eyes. He is a soulless man.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume that it's common knowledge now that U.S. intelligence has been spying all over Europe to get an upper hand on negotiations, whatever, economic negotiations. And then we've got these hacks lately from Colonial Pipeline. Then we've got the JBS hack, which I don't believe were. I think that's probably false flag hacks and just to blame somebody else. And there's a lot of Russia bashing going on right now. We're probably at the lowest point now since the Cold War itself with Russia as far as our relationship now. So what do you think is going to happen here on this? Biden's going to address these hacks, whether he believes they're true or not. With Putin, he's going to say, no, we didn't do this. We have no incentive to do that. We didn't hack your elections. What good could possibly come out of this negotiation, this summit?
Well, I don't think much good can come out of the summit because I think Biden, as I said, is going to go in with a whole list of things he's going to throw in Putin's face. And Putin's just going to say, we didn't do that. You remember the Helsinki summit in, what was it, 2018, where Trump met with Putin? And he and Putin saw eye to eye that Russiagate was a fraud. And when Trump went out and reported that to the media, they went completely crazy. And they said, well, so you believe Putin more than your own intelligence service? And Trump said, yes. And he was right.
Yeah.
You can't trust U.S. intelligence. Now, Steve, you mentioned these hacks. I think they're going to find out that these were either internal jobs or done by the National Security Agency.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Edward Snowden and Bill Binney also talked about this Vault 7 capability that they have for cyber warfare, where they can do hacking in almost any language, including Cyrillic, with the Russian, put a Russian fingerprint on it. What's the Russian incentive in shutting down U.S. oil shipments on the East Coast? What's their incentive on, who really wants to shut down beef production? It's the environmental lunatics. So I think what we're going to see at the summit is Putin is going to go in very businesslike, and he's going to say, look, we want to make sure we don't have accidental warfare break out because of pilots crashing into each other over Ukraine or the Black Sea or the Baltic Sea. We want to have agreements on this, but if you keep pushing us on the sanctions, we'll have no choice but to work together with other nations to move outside of the dollar system. And right now, the dollar system, as weak as it is a system that, ironically, the Chinese and the Russians need, so that if it's sabotaged, it won't be for their purposes. It will be a defensive measure against the United States. And so how stupid is it of American negotiators to go in and do that? Now, if they do that, if Biden pushes these things, it's because they've concluded they can't get the Great Reset, and therefore they just want to create maximum chaos in which you can have war, you can have a new Patriot Act, a bigger crackdown on this whole question of so-called white supremacists in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what we're looking at, a super Patriot Act and a war which could very easily become a nuclear war. So, maybe the good thing would be if Biden sits there next to Putin and falls asleep.
Putin has got to be just laughing himself to death here, because in order to leverage somebody to get them to see things your way or consider your viewpoint for maybe a basis for a new policy, you first have to have leverage. JoJo is walking there with next to nothing.
It's the emperor with no clothes. But, here's the thing the Russians are saying. You're talking about Western values. You're talking about the rules-based order, doing things the way you do it, the democracies do it. Well, does that rules-based order include such things as regime change, endless wars, assassination of leaders, killer sanctions, no reconstruction of the nations you destroy? Is that Western values? Because if that's Western values, we don't really want a part of that. And, I think it's not just Putin. It's most of the world, and they're not really laughing. They're a bit horrified by what's going on in the United States. And the Chinese had it, the Global Times had an editorial yesterday saying that from the Chinese viewpoint, the United States is becoming so polarized because of the policies that have been adopted since January 6th that they see the possibility of the United States breaking apart in a civil war. And if you actually step back from the day-to-day media onslaught, you can see this.
Yeah.
You can see how they're creating, using this idea of racism, systemic racism.
You divide the house, yeah.
They're creating the basis for a race war in the United States.
Exactly. Hey, Steve, I've got loaded phones here. I got to keep moving.
I got one last question real quick. Just throw it at me. I'll take it off there. We know that Russia's already dumped the dollar. They know it's monopoly money. We just keep printing the money. It's worthless in trade. Yeah. So in past history, the United States has always made enemy and made war on countries who have decided to leave the fiat currency of the dollar. This would be a bad choice for the United States to put a bullseye and try to make war with Russia, but what do you think is going to happen with that? I'll take my answer off here.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, Steve, you're right. The reason we overthrew Gaddafi is that he was talking about setting up a currency in Africa that was gold-based and oil-based. Saddam Hussein was talking about things like that. This is something that we've done in the past. When countries don't go along with the rules imposed by the international banks, they get couped. They get killed. Now, it is hard to do that with Russia. They tried to use Ukraine, but the idea, Putin called their bluff. Putin said, you want to start a war in eastern Ukraine? We'll overrun your country within 2 or 3 days. Then are you going to use nuclear weapons? So you're right. And John, you said the same thing. Biden isn't holding many cards.
No, he's not. Yeah, if you're going to sit down at a table and attempt a negotiation, you got to bring something to the table. Mark in Georgia. Hello, Mark.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
There we go. All righty. Well, I went to Jekyll Island and burned a number of copies of an audio message of the creature from Jekyll Island. And the vast majority of people were very decent and honorable. And one woman got unhinged at me, basically, I don't want to hear anything you have to say. Help, security, you guys. I'm like, what is with you? And next thing I know, the Georgia State Patrol is being very polite and professional and asking me to leave. And I'm like, why? I mean, well...
Because you didn't bring a big enough entourage, because when we did that...
Mark,
help me out here, Mike. Thank you. Mark, you didn't bring a big enough contingent. It was you, yourself, and a few other people. If you brought the battle cruiser down there to the Jekyll Island Hotel, we inundated that place, and there wasn't anybody that wasn't left with a copy of Ed Griffith's book, Creature from Jekyll Island. We popped that place inside out. We didn't have anybody asking us to leave or anything else. They were in total shock because what was revealed to them was the truth about the Federal Reserve System and funny money. Yeah. Thanks for your call, Mark. Kelly in Austin. Hello, Kelly.
Hi there. I haven't lived in Germany, Berlin, since 2012 and in Frankfurt since 2014. I left just before the big invasion of the immigrants that Merkel let in. And I'm curious, Harley, what do things look like now from somebody who's actually on the ground there?
Well, it's interesting because a lot of the immigrants that came to Germany were from Syria. And most of the ones that, and I've actually had a chance to meet with some of them. In fact, some of them were in my German language classes. They wanted to go back to Syria. They were hoping the war would end. And, you did have some very problematic networks that got in, but the German police were pretty effective in isolating them. And you probably remember there were a couple of incidents of attacks in large crowds. There were a couple of cars driven into crowds at the Christmas markets in Berlin and a couple of things like that. But for the most part, the situation in Germany, the biggest problem in Germany is not the immigrants, it's the political parties. The political parties are going to destroy German industry with this environmentalism. But I have some really good news for you. The Western media is trying to build up the idea that there's going to be a Green Party person elected chancellor to replace Merkel. So in the first election where the Greens and the CDU went head-to-head, which was in Sachsen-Anhalt just this last weekend, the Green Party got almost no increase in votes in spite of all the propaganda for them. They're still only at 2.3% in that state. And the Christian Democrats went up 8% because they were saying, we don't want war with Russia, and we don't want to shut down the coal industry. So there may be some hope for Germany, but the situation on the immigration thing stabilized quite a bit in Germany. It hasn't been partly because the Turks cut off the flow of immigrants. The big problem for Europe is going to be immigrants from North Africa. And this is because the Sahara Desert is spreading southward. Lake Chad is drying up. There are 30 to 40 million people there. Where are they going to go? They're going to go north and go through Libya, which is a transshipment center now, and try to get into Italy or Spain. And this is going to be the next real crisis.
Well, and this...
They all really want to go to Germany. I mean, Germany is Mecca to them, to most of these people.
Well, because in the past, Germany was able to absorb industrial workers. And a lot of the people who came from Syria were fairly well educated. The people coming from North Africa are less so in terms of education. But the other problem is Germany is cutting back in its industrial production. The environmentalism is about to destroy the motor of German industry, which is the auto sector. And the auto sector feeds the whole machine tool sector, and that's about to get shut down. German industry is looking to China and the Chinese market as their salvation. And, of course, the European Union is saying, oh, no, China's the enemy. China is going to squeeze us out. And so you have this very interesting battle going on.
All right.
Well, okay, one more thing, John, please.
Quickly, Kelly.
When I lived in Frankfurt, I did detect a tension between the Turks and the Kurds. Not long after I left, I saw videos of Turks and Kurds and brawling all over the city. I recognized every place where they were brawling, and the fights were intense.
You know where else that happens is Sweden. That happens in Sweden a lot. The Turks and the Kurds are fighting.
And they go into another. This is all a balkanization process on the scale of the New World Order's thinking. The more that you ship in people from other cultures and other countries, what you do is you weaken the culture of the receiving country. And, you know,
this is a sort of identity politics, John, that you take away the idea that a nation has a mission.
Mm-hmm.
The United States succeeded even as an immigrant nation because in the past there was a serious effort made to define a national mission and to create a national culture. Now that's called racism. It's called white privilege. And so if you instead say, no, we've got a gay culture, transgender culture, we've got this ethnic group. Once you break it down into all these different groups fighting for a bigger piece of a shrinking pie, you end up with chaos. And that's what's happening in the United States now.
And that's exactly its intention. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Kelly, thank you for your call. James in Vancouver. Hello, James.
Yes, good afternoon. My best friend up here was in the Hitler Youth in 1944. He's 92 years old, going on 93 this year. And we spent the day before Memorial Day talking about the war, of course. And we get together at least once a week. We've been doing that for several months now. One of the interesting stories he talked about was after the war, his family looked after one of the concentration camp people, and this person was billeted there and looked after well, of course. And then after he told me that, I went home, but then all of a sudden it came to me. I called him back, and I said, how many other German families were doing this, and he said it was in the thousands. Mm-hmm. Thousands were let go out of the camps, and they were taken care of by the German people. So I just wanted to
mention that. And you
know, that's an important point, because there was a book written a few years ago called Hitler's Willing Executioners, which tried to make the argument that every German was an anti-Semite and was a supporter of the extermination. And it was a complete fraud. The history was a complete fraud. There were many, many Germans who didn't know what was going on. The idea that everyone knew what was going on is fraudulent. You know, it's like the United States. How many people in the United States know that the bankers are stealing everything that's not bolted down?
Right. Well, and Truman, did you happen to catch the New York Times article a couple of weeks ago? They came out with this article that shocked me, that they did their surveys and talking to different groups, and what they discovered is 40% of the people that were polled thought we were fighting the wrong people during World War II. Wow.
Well, John, nothing would surprise me when you take these kinds of questions about history. The idea that I was shocked not that long ago when I read a story about a university in the United States where about half of the incoming freshmen didn't know when the American Revolution took place.
I know.
Of them thought it was in the 1870s.
I know. I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because it's ironic. Whether it be Jay Leno or anybody else that did the Man in the Street interviews, the level of stupidity in a country that's supposed to have the best school system is astounding. Dan in Washington will make you the last call. We're running out of time, sir. You got a couple of minutes.
Thanks. Just talking about Gaddafi and the gold, did anyone ever research what happened to all his gold? I mean, I've never heard. It's got to be a huge pile of gold somewhere.
Well, you know, in most of these wars, these regime change wars, it's not just a question of the gold that's there. It's also a question of the pallets of dollars that go in that are essentially stolen by the contractors based in Northern Virginia. And you can assume that if there was money that was available or some form of tangible wealth, whether it was gold or jewelry or things of that sort, it ended up in the hands of some of these contractors who essentially are mercenary forces who supposedly are there to rebuild the country.
Right.
But with the billions of dollars that go in, there's not much rebuilding that goes on.
No, there certainly is not. Thank you, Dan. I appreciate your call. We've got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes here. Harley, you want to put out your email?
Yeah, people can contact me, and I always get a flood of emails from your show, John. So it's Harley, S-C-H, that's H-A-R-L-E-Y-S-C-H, at gmail.com. And if you write to me, I'll send you a link to my blog page where I put up a weekly article, and I do a daily video report, usually about 10 minutes long. So you can get that from just writing to me. Tell me you heard it on John's program, and I'll be happy to send you a link.
Well, Harley, can you make yourself a note here before you get out of here today? Can you send me a link to that? Because I'd be more than happy for your
I was supposed to do that after the last show, John.
Yes, you were. And before you get up
but
out of that...
But I did send you a couple articles.
Yes, you did. But before you get out of that chair, sir, please do me a favor. Send me over that link, because what I'll do is I'll post your video message on our website, as well as your weekly writings. I want to keep people informed.
And on the video site, there's a sign-up place that you can just sign up. So, yeah, that's fine.
All right. Harley, as always, it's a pleasure. I ask small questions. I get huge answers. And that's the way I like it. All right, sir. Thank you very much.
All right, John. Till next time.
Yes, sir. All right. Top of the hour break here, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report coming up. I'm your host, John Stettmiller, and this is the National Intel Report. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, still here after all these years. Thanks to your help and support. Please continue that.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.